What's up, everybody? This is Joffer, Papa Pump Penizai, a.k.a. the Liver Assassin, a.k.a. the Bad Guy, a.k.a. the man who ruined your parents' relationship. And I'm here with my main man, John the Matt Maz. How you doing, John?
Like always, I can never come up with anything better on your intros.
I know. I don't know where they come from, but yay.
That's so what she said. Today we have two awesome guests. We have my cousin and family member, Jess, and one of her partners and coaches, Bill. They both run and work at CrossFit ACT up in North Jersey. We're glad to have Monte. We have some awesome topics that we'd love to touch on. Jess, you're there. Would you mind kind of just telling us a little bit about yourself? And then Bill, whenever you want to cut her off and chime in, we'd be more than happy to hear you.
Yeah, what's up, guys? I definitely do not have an intro as good as that as either.
Yeah, but you know what? You're much better looking than me, so that counts for something.
Oh, that's very true.
100%. All right, so I'm Jess. I'm one of the owners here at CrossFit ACT. I've been doing CrossFit for probably about 4 years. I started off just like any other noob and then kind of worked my way up. Just kept training, kept practicing the art, and now partners with the lovely Bill Shackley. Before that, I spent a year at University of San Diego. I did college crew, and before that, I was pitching pretty competitively up and down the East Coast. So for the most part, been an athlete my whole life, but now solely CrossFit.
That's awesome. And then, I mean, you've been pretty much athletic your whole life. You started out in traditional sports, right?
Yeah, so I started out pitching. You know, my mom was a high school softball coach, so I just, you know, naturally took up that sport, and I dove headfirst into that, just like pitching all the time, playing on the weekends in the fall and the winter, right into spring and into summer. So I did that as my main sport my whole entire life.
Well, it doesn't hurt either that you have really good genetics. I mean, both your parents are super athletic.
Yeah, I mean, my mom and dad were both phys ed teachers, and my dad was also an athletic director. So, thankfully, I got athletic genes and didn't wind up doing something, like, super crafty that anybody else in the family could do.
So, Will, tell us a little about yourself. I know right now you're really sick, but, you know, we appreciate you coming on. Tell us something about yourself, man.
So, I've been doing CrossFit for about 7 years. Prior to opening up my own place, I worked at a few other facilities. I traveled around with CrossFit HQ doing level one certs. Prior to that, I was in the Marine Corps for quite some time. I actually grew up in a very military family, so we were constantly a very active family. Prior to that, I was at Montclair State University where I studied nutrition. And as an athlete, I was a high school wrestler for all 4 years, and I wrestled prior to high school. As far as college, I never really took it to the next level with sports. I was more of trying to get through my biology degree, which was terribly difficult. So I've been doing CrossFit now as an athlete for 5 years.
Now, you know, it's funny. It's cool to have you guys on because my first certification was also CrossFit. I did it in 2008 with CrossFit One World in California. I believe it was Hayward, something like that.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. And just recently I recertified at Gorilla CrossFit. And the main thing I ask a lot of people who do CrossFit, what brought you into the community? Was it just the intensity of the workouts? Was it the community aspect? What brought both of you into CrossFit, and what makes you want to continue with this organization? Bam!
It's a funny story how I got started with CrossFit. I was actually I was a personal trainer at a Globo gym, and I won't name the gym.
You can name it.
Come on.
We talk shit all the time. Fine.
It's Retro Fitness.
Oh, goddamn son of a bitches.
I usually call him retrosexual, but
me too.
Yeah, so I was training someone there, and I overheard someone on the treadmill talking about this CrossFit website. And this was in the very beginning when it was, you know, no one really knew what CrossFit was. And so I went to went to the website, checked it out, and, you know, it looked pretty interesting. And, you know, I like to, you know, look at all different types of aspects of fitness because there's not, you know, just one right one. And really thought that they were onto something. So went out to California, saw what they were about, did some training out there, came back to the East Coast, started training at an affiliate as Gorilla Fitness in Montclair, actually, was one of the older affiliates out there. And that's where I kind of got my start. Then I went back out to California again, did some training out there, came back, and it's been a pretty good ride ever since. You know, it's you meet a lot of good people along the way, and what's great about CrossFit is not just, you know, the methodologies that they preach, but they surround themselves with really smart people in all aspects of fitness and nutrition, and I think that's why CrossFit is so successful, because there's science and experts to back a lot of the things that we do up, which is great.
Now, one of the topics that we kind of wanted to touch on today, it's been a hot topic in the community, is the popularity of CrossFit. Since it has become so popular and it has become, I don't want to call it mainstream, but it's way more in the focal point of fitness than it was a few years ago. How do you guys feel that that's kind of almost been a declining point for the sport? Because there is so many schools and there is so many like jabronis out there trying to teach CrossFit and teach Olympic lifting that really have no business teaching these things.
Yeah, exactly. There are so many jabronis out there.
You know it.
I'm sitting next to the biggest one of them all.
Hey, that's my family. That's my jabroni.
Yeah, you know it.
You're lucky. You're lucky you're hot.
Unfortunately, what happened, and fortunately, like, you know, people do love CrossFit, and that's what keeps the community growing. But, you know, you get someone to come into the gym, they take a few classes, they go a few months, they love it, and then they get their certification, and they open a gym. And now you have novices teaching novices, and that tends to give the rest of the community a bad name. God forbid someone gets hurt or they're not teaching properly, just because they haven't got enough years or studied enough body movement over hours and hours in order to teach someone properly. So then that results in, you know, a poor affiliate or someone getting injured, or my gym doesn't do this and your gym does that better. And that's what, you know, gives CrossFit, you know, that's what is happening because it is becoming so popular that everyone can do it, which is awesome, but then everyone can do it.
Now, Bill's been in the game for a while, and so have you. What are some steps and precautions you guys are taking to set yourself apart or to market yourself differently away from these lesser qualified people?
I think the main difference between myself and other people who are preaching CrossFit or their methodologies is that we've been doing it for so long, and we have coaches who have been with us for, you know, more than, you know, 2 years. And because of that, you know, there is a lot of experience on the floor. So it's not just enough that, you know, we go out there and we get our, you know, what I call a, you know, a 48-hour cert, where you go get your level one 48 hours and it's a handout. You know, it's not enough that you have someone who goes to school for their degree in exercise science. I mean, even someone with a degree in science, you know, has to understand that there has to be a certain amount of experience involved. So it's about putting the hours in and understanding, like Jess said, basic body movement, basic, you know, kinesthetics of the body. And if you're not there, if you're not training hours and hours and hours, then you're not going to have the experience, let alone being able to go onto YouTube or any other platform and try to teach someone without basic knowledge.
Well, you know, if it's on YouTube, it must be correct.
Yeah.
That's how I got my cert, you know.
I knew it.
my favorite right now on YouTube is CrossFit Fails. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that hashtag.
Yeah. I think the pros and cons of CrossFit are this. Pros are that the basic bottom line of CrossFit is to get people more active, and they're doing that. The cons are that there's a lot of Chiefs and no Indians. And if you don't have...
That's racist.
No Indians.
I never said I was PC.
Hey, we like that.
But if, you know, the thing is, if you never give yourself the opportunity to learn under the guidance of someone who has been in the sport or who it takes their craft seriously, then you yourself are never going to be taken seriously.
So I just wanted to add one thing, because you were talking about the Olympic cert and, teaching Olympic lifting and people who are relatively new who only do the 48-hour certification teaching it. I've done a lot of Olympic certifications, and it's one of my favorite modalities. And I kind of feel like you see people who go to this level one cert, you know, just like most of us have done, and the problem that I'm finding is they're having, you know, these older clientele doing these Olympic lifts, which are highly involved, very technical. And the issue is, okay, let's say their ability to teach it is great. These movements are used, you know, hence they're called Olympic lifts, for low reps. And we have workouts where you basically got to do it hundreds of times. Of course, I'm exaggerating. And I don't think that's the safest way of using these lifts. So I just wanted your opinion on these, because, you know, a really heavy barbell snatch, I just don't see it being safe to do it, say, for some of these workouts, you know, 40 times for time.
And, Jess, so that you want me to answer that?
Yeah. Bill, take point on that, because I feel like you have a lot to say about that.
So basically, There's a couple of things that we can say about this. One, and I'm saying this with the most amount of love towards CrossFit, is that CrossFit takes all forms of fitness, whether it be Olympic lifting, powerlifting, or basic body awareness, and there's some form of bastardization of the movement. Now, if you're going to look at Olympic lifting and say it's very technical and, you know, no one should do it, then you're never going to have the ability to preach what Olympic lifting is on a large platform. Now, ever since CrossFit has came around, Olympic lifting has become more popular in the States in the last few years, which I attribute to CrossFit. Now, if there's more people doing CrossFit, there's more people doing Olympic lifting. I love Olympic lifting. And do I think that there are some inherent issues with doing, you know, Olympic lifts for heavy loads and high reps? Absolutely. Do I think it's okay to do the snatch 30 times in a row for moderate weight? Given the proper technique with proper coaching and no time limit, yes. Do I think it should be done in 5 minutes or less? Absolutely not. So yes, there are some issues with Olympic lifts being done for high reps and heavy loads. I mean, it definitely is a risk of injury, but there's also a risk of injury in doing 1,000 push-ups a day, and that doesn't have any load.
Agreed.
So we can go, you know, we can argue semantics on, you know, what Olympic lifting is or what powerlifting is, you know, what the rep scheme is, but in the long term, there is no significant data yet, and I say yet because I'm sure CrossFit's working on something yet, to prove whether or not heavy loads and these specific movements are going to cause injury. We've seen a lot of issues with that over the course of the years, and I think sometimes it has to do with people coming to our gyms and not being sports oriented, and they try to do something that they shouldn't be doing, and yeah, there's definitely going to be a risk of injury. So I just think it really has more to do with the coaching ability, the athlete's ability to listen to the coach, which is always an issue, and understanding what the proper risk is when you're doing certain movements.
Yeah, I think it also goes back to, like Bill said, going into coaching. You know, you have to have a coach that will be able to read their client. You know, if you have an older client who has shoulder issues, who can't really put anything over their head, making them do 30 snatches as fast as they can is not the smartest idea. So, like Bill said, it does come back to, you know, your coaching knowing what you're teaching, but also the scalability of how to make that movement safe for whatever member comes into your gym, whether they be young, old, an athlete, a non-athlete, scaling it to fit their ability.
Now, here's another thing I got to ask you guys. A lot of individuals that I know who come to me for CrossFit conditioning, CrossFit strength work, because I myself am using the modality. I love it. I'm a big fan of it. A lot of them are already athletes. I find that's who I attract the most. So now, with the athletes you guys have, this is the biggest issue that I'm always being very conscious of, is that I want to use CrossFit methodologies to supplement what they're doing. I don't want it to be their main form of exercise. I want it to be basically it's like their protein shake in their diet.
So you're talking about training fighters and other martial artists
as
well, right?
I'm talking about an athlete just like that. How do you guys, I want your opinions, how do you guys deal with, say, let's just make it general. We got a soccer player, high-level collegiate soccer player who's got grueling two-hour practice but wants to come to CrossFit and get the benefits from it. How do you guys deal with a client like that? Bam!
Out.
Well, I think that the first thing that we have to understand is that, like you said, if the soccer player comes in, he's having grueling two-hour practices on the field, then there is going to be some, you know, form of issue with him being fatigued in the weight room. So we would have to first look at what his training regimen is on the field and with his conditioning trainer by way of the soccer team, and allow us to understand what limitations he is required to have as a soccer player. So if the coach is saying that, you know, we don't allow back squats with a bar, then we're not going to say, well, you know what, this is CrossFit and we're going to make you back squat anyways with the bar, because we understand that there's inherent, you know, strength issues that you're going to have with this. You know, I try and stay as close to the script of what the coaches and the athletes are allowing us to do, and then I'll just scale it to what I feel that they can achieve strength from in a different manner. So whether they cannot use the barbell, or whether, you know, we're only allowing, you know, the lower half of the athlete to be worked, we work around their training regimen.
Now, I mean, here's another thing. Not a lot of CrossFit workouts are very cardiovascularly taxing. So, I mean, this is something I always had a problem with my fight career. I went to a local CrossFit gym and, you know, I would spar, I'd hip pads, things that were cardiovascularly demanding, and then I would go and do the WOD, and it was basically, you know, a death by burpee workout, and I never felt like it benefited me, because all it did was further pound my body and give me a little bit less in the tank for the next day. What would you guys do, like, example, even just using the same soccer athlete who you know is running down and back and down and back, what would you focus on, let's just say, for that clientele, that specific example?
Well, I think that if we know that there's going to be, you know, a soccer player, there is a certain amount of muscular endurance that is required by a soccer player, let's say even a fighter. And if we're talking about, you know, 6-minute rounds in a ring, or, you know, if the soccer player is sprinting from one side of the field to the other, then I wouldn't say that, you know, a 12 to 15 minute workout would be the best thing for him. I would talk to the athlete. We'd probably talk about, you know, VO2 max training, where we would do a lot of Tabata style rowing or sprinting with a prowler, or doing something where we would get his VO2 max to increase, which would definitely relate to the soccer field or inside the ring. You know, just doing a long workout that is, you know, quote unquote, you know, kick ass, is not necessarily going to gain you anything inside the ring or on the field. I mean, I think the whole idea of CrossFit and our gym specifically is that we are training athletes that are going to have translatable differences of strength to their sport. So it's not enough that we just do 100 burpees for time. We have to understand what the athlete is trying to achieve and then to program accordingly.
Well, I kind of wanted to switch gears a little bit and talk about, like, the development of making CrossFit through group fitness now into a full-fledged professional sport where people are gaining sponsors and kind of taking that route. Do you think because of the popularity of the actual sport now that people are kind of overdoing it and going a little bit too crazy and pushing themselves to limits where maybe like the normal person can't do that and they try to replicate it, and then you're seeing kind of the same situation with more injuries and, you know, bad coaching?
Well, I mean, I definitely think there's always going to be some degree of unrealistic expectations by certain clients. And just like you'd have in like baseball or basketball, you know, they see these pro players and, you know, they think, oh, that's easy, I'm going to do what they do. Or, you know, so it's not uncommon where you might see a new client walk in and they say, you know what, I'm going to the games, I'm going to do 5 workouts in a day, and, you know, boom, I'm going to the games. That's it. It's easy. I'm going. So unfortunately, you know, we have to burst those bubbles and be like, you know, well, all right, you're going to go to the games. Let's, you know, how many pull-ups can you do type thing. But,
And I think Jess hits the nail on the head when it's, you know, bursting bubbles. Like, you know, being a coach doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to be your best friend. And if I believe that you have ability, then I'll try to harness your ability and we'll try and work you into becoming the best athlete you can be. Now, at the same time, if you come in here and you're like, I'm going to the games, and I know that there's no way in hell you're going, I'm going to tell you that. And I'm being your best friend by telling you that, because at least we understand what your goals should realistically be.
Yeah, realistic expectations. I think a lot of coaches, even in the fight game, have that too. I mean, Joffer's told a few people that their kids or their husbands or wives aren't ready to fight, and now he has enemies for life. But that's a different story.
Yeah. But I'll say this much though, and to your point about, you know, going, you know, with sponsors and whatnot, I think CrossFit definitely has the possibility. Well, I mean, we already see the CrossFit Games and how big they are getting, and you know, I think it opens up a new genre of athletes that are coming out of college and are not going to professional sports. Now they have another area, another arena to compete in, which is going to extend the life of collegiate athletes outside of school.
Oh, I agree with that 100%. I mean, that happens with a lot of guys that maybe do other martial arts like wrestling or karate. After you compete in college, there's not really many avenues for you to go through, maybe being a coach or opening up your own training facility. But now with the advent of CrossFit and mixed martial arts and jiu-jitsu, you can further your career of being an athlete. So yeah, you're right. That's awesome to keep being competitive. Yeah.
All right, I'm sorry. You know, you go first, Jessica.
Oh, thank you. I also think that a lot of people are going to start doing CrossFit at a younger age. Now, you know, we have CrossFit Kids. You have a lot of teams doing CrossFit. When most of us started, you know, we were past our college careers, just bored at the gym. So you're picking it up in like your mid to late 20s, some people in their 30s and 40s. But now you have these young girls and these young boys who are starting preteen, where they have no bad muscle memory. No one's taught them anything, you know, maybe a few things, how to throw a ball, how to shoot a basketball. But they are primed to learn these Olympic lifts and these gymnastics movements because they don't have any bad form already. So they're learning these amazingly difficult movements at an excellent age, and then taking it into their early 20s, and they're by that time they're ready to go, and that's when they are starting that professional athlete level.
I agree with you 100%. I've seen a few chicks on Instagram already that they're maybe 18 or 19 years old. They've been doing CrossFit for 2 years, and they are in phenomenal shape. They're completely shredded. Almost like you. And they have like 50,000 Instagram followers. Boom.
So here's something.
Lauren Fisher out of CrossFit Invictus. I've been following her as kind of like a girl crush. She started.
Me too, actually. I emailed her the other day. She emailed me back.
She's awesome. I saw her work out at a competition out in Phoenix. I was working this competition, and I was like, who's this like skinny little girl doing, like ripping through these workouts? And then I looked her up. You know, she's been doing CrossFit since she's maybe 14 or 15, but now it's 5 years later. She's at the junior nationals for the Olympic weightlifting. She's on the cover of magazines. It's great.
Yeah. Do you think she wants to marry me?
You think she want to hang out with us?
I would hope so. I mean, I like Chinese food.
So here's something I'm going to throw your way. We see the CrossFit games. We see these people working out within that competition several times within a day. I've been researching hormone therapy for a long time, diet therapy, all this stuff. I smell something fishy going on within these games, and I know it's merely speculation, but do you guys believe that there's a little bit of performance-enhancing drugs that are kind of leaking into these CrossFit games?
And not the over-the-counter stuff at, yeah, at GNC.
Not fish oil, you mean? That's not what is fishy?
Deer antler?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think in any professional sport that has millions of dollars at stake that there's nothing going on that's over-the-counter?
No.
No, absolutely not.
We both compete on amateur level.
So why would it be any different with CrossFit?
Exactly. And that's the whole thing. What's starting to get me is that, you know, I believe at these games, they're not testing. I mean, that's what I heard from one of the competitors I know. And I don't know if this is true or not. Maybe you guys would know better than me.
Yeah, they are testing.
Okay.
I was a judge at the Northeast Regionals, and they were doing spot testing where they would just take the athletes right off the field and give them a urine test. But even so, I mean, let's talk about this, you know, realistically, right? If we know that there's money at stake, and we know that there are 12 months in a year, and that the CrossFit Open, you know, is in March, you know, we all know about cycling. We all know about, you know, how to use steroids or human growth hormone or whatever it is to cycle on and off. I mean, even if an athlete was doing steroids, I would think they'd be smart enough to cycle off prior to going to the games. I mean, and I'm not promoting or advocating the use of steroids. I'm just speaking realistically. You know, I think that, you know, first off, you know, we've seen a huge surge in science in the last few years when you know, human growth hormone. And
I tell you what, we are promoting. We're promoting Mike Mahler's T booster,
yes,
and
exactly,
and Onnit's T plus. So yes, go right ahead.
Plug.
I'll tell you what, man. I'll be the first to say this. I'll probably get a lot of shit for this. That I would say, you know, within the CrossFit community, you know, you're looking at elite level athletes, and I might even lose my affiliate for saying this, but I couldn't think that more than 50% were or were not dabbling in some form of supplement.
I agree with you. I mean, and I really respect that you say this because, you know, I was at a CrossFit cert, the one I was mentioning to you guys about, and I was kind of saying it aloud, and I got these looks like, oh, you're an asshole, how dare you say that? And I'm like, let's be for real.
You don't get that jacked from paleo.
Forget about being jacked. You cannot sustain that kind of workload and that kind of, you know, grueling muscle tear, wear and tear, and be able to compete at that kind of level without a little help.
Agreed. I mean, look, you know, I'll be honest, like, here I am. I'm 38 years old. I've been doing CrossFit and, you know, sports and military training for years now, and my body is broken. And that's because I have not done any kind of steroids or human growth hormone, and this is the end result of that. If I had the option to do it, I probably would, just for my own personal reasons. And I think a lot of people out there, whether they're doing CrossFit or just going to regular Globo gyms and doing their bicep curls, are doing it just being it's more of a personal reason. But when it comes to professional sports, or, you know, which now includes CrossFit, you would be stupid as an athlete not to do it, because you have to have some kind of advantage over the other athletes that are doing it and that are genetically gifted. So, I mean, we could all sit here and say that, you know, yeah, sure, no one's doing it. They're doing paleo. They're working out 12 hours a day. and that's the reason why they're like this. But, I mean, we have to be realistic about things.
Well, I mean, it's obvious that other people are asking these questions as well, because – not too long ago, maybe 2-3 weeks ago, I saw a video posted up basically about a day in the life of Rich Froning. And on that day, it was just surprise drug test. Whether or not it was an actual surprise or not, you know, I'm not sure. But obviously there had to be suspicions arising, like, is this guy on, you know, performance enhancement drugs, or, you know, for them to put a video out, oh, you know, we're going to test him right at his own box, you know, right after his workout. You know, he's definitely not on drugs.
Well, he's just, they're just jealous that he's so good looking that he gets all his power from Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior.
No comment on that one. But, well, here's, I mean, here's the thing, like, it, and that's like another political kind of appeasement piece is where they're not going to, they're testing him for what, anabolic steroids, you know. You know, DECA, Winstrol, they're not going to say, well, we're going to do a spot test and test you for human growth hormone. I mean,
no,
it's
absolutely.
A little more, it's a little more
TRT. Amazing.
Well, that's, you know, legal. You can get it with script. But, I mean, you know, the issue I'm finding with it is that I love that it's becoming a sport. A lot of people, you know, crap on that, oh, well, I don't want to be the best at exercising. I'm sure you guys have seen that meme. But
yeah. Kenny Powers?
The way I look at it, I mean, if you're going to make running a sport in the Olympics, why can't CrossFit be a sport, you know? If you're going to make many of these things that just involve physicality, why not let CrossFit be a sport as well? The only issue that I would go with the whole CrossFit Games, besides, you know, the potential steroids, all of that, back in the day, it was very easy to do the CrossFit Games. I mean, it was just some measly internet application. Now I almost feel like it's such a process, and you have to have a gym that's oriented to and knows the ins and outs to get you in. So you guys, do you have people that you can fast track and really develop to get into the CrossFit Games?
Yes. I think now that we're seeing, you know, a large surge of athletes coming into the CrossFit Games, that they're looking for reputable gyms to harness their ability as an athlete and to train them. And what's great about CrossFit is there, even if you're a great athlete, there is a certain amount of skill sets that need to be practiced in order to become proficient enough to be in the games. So it's not enough that you're strong. You have to know how to do muscle ups. You have to know how to do handstand push-ups and all these other things. So fortunately, you know, we've been around for a while where we're now seeing an influx of young athletes into our box that have the ability. But even so, even with a brand new athlete who has a strength background, you know, I tell them it's going to be at least 8 to 16 months before you even have, you know, we even have an idea whether or not you're going to be going anywhere.
So I want to shift gears a little bit. You know, anybody who goes to a CrossFit cert, the first thing you get exposed to diet-wise is the whole concept of zoning. You know, they really go into, if you want to be okay, if you want to be poor health, this is what you eat. If you want to be in the median range, this is what you do, which is, it's almost like paleo-esque. And then at the highest level, zoning, which, you know, the whole concept of 40% carbs, 30 fat, 30 protein. Right. Are you guys advocates of that with your box or paleo? Because I don't find the zone diet to be practical for your common person. I understand they're saying, oh, it's just food prep. But, you know, I work 50 hours a day. Maz is always in the air. I don't feel like either of us have that kind of ability to do it. So what's your opinion on the zone diet? And what do you guys advocate within your box?
Jess?
So we have one of our athletes who's, you know, he's pretty up there regional wise, and we have him on the zone diet, paleo zone, just, you know, cause his regimen is not the average regimen of someone coming in the gym and working out for 1 hour a day. Granted, their workout is hard, but, you know, he's eating to perform and to perform well each time and at a certain level of intensity and sustaining energy throughout the workout. For our regular clients, the majority of clients, we do advocate paleo because it is just a clean way to eat. You know, if we get some of the bigger guys coming in here who are lifting heavier, have a little more emphasis on strength, you know, we don't shy away from saying, you know, you can have the rice, you know, that's cool.
Can we give a shout? Can we give a shout out to Evan?
Yeah, Evan, what up? Big boy Evan, Clydesdale. You know, we do say, you know, go ahead, eat the rice. Sweet potatoes, that's fine. Like, you know, be realistic. If you're hungry, it's okay to eat. You don't have to you know, oh, is this a fistful of chicken? I don't know if I can do that today. No, you know, just get yourself on a clean eating regimen, not eating shitty foods, not eating things that are not on the quote-unquote, not the perimeter of the supermarket. But other than that, the zone is not for, like you said, it's not for everyone.
Now, what do you guys think about, like, really high-quality fats? I mean, that's kind of been, like, a little bit of a controversial topic, especially with things like clarified butter, coconut oil, avocados.
You got the bulletproof coffee, which is, like, huge. So what's your opinion on the high-fat, high-fat revolution?
Yeah.
Well, I think that, one is what we should understand is that when we look at what the Food and Drug Administration puts out as what is, you know, healthy, that we've all, you know, had the wool pulled over our eyes. So, you know, understanding that fat is not the enemy is a good thing. And, you know, knowing that, you know, avocado and, you know, monounsaturated fats can do a body good, essentially, is great. And I think that, you know, again, what we're seeing here with, like, you know, the grass-fed beef and, you know, was it the bulletproof coffee, is that we're just looking at more organic style of foods, and organic being a broadly based term. But, you know, paleo zone, whatever you're going to call it, there's plenty of things out there that we advocate because they're just healthy food items. You know, when most people that come to the gym, unfortunately, they work out so they can eat badly. So when they come into the gym, we don't just talk about working out. We talk about what to eat. So
you're saying Chinese food's no good.
Throw at the wall sticks once in a while. So there, thankfully, there's been plenty of stuff out there in regards to paleo zone and whole nine, all these things that people will start to understand that eating right is just as important as working out.
Absolutely. And I almost feel like CrossFit kind of, like, at that cert, we did a great little talk on it, but I like more the boxes that talk more about just education for nutrition, because you guys are doing a phenomenal job with the workouts, with programming, just in general as a community. CrossFit's doing a great job with that. I feel like a lot of them fall flat with the diet. I mean, I know the CrossFit box that I first went to, I mean, diet was just completely unspoken. Like, there was nothing about it. So is that a big part of your box?
Yes.
It's a huge part. Actually, one of our coaches is a paleo nutritionist. So he's on staff, and if people want to meet with him and talk about their diet plans and their lifestyle and how they can start to incorporate paleo into an everyday habit, he's the perfect go-to guy for that. I mean, all of our coaches know the paleo diet and how to properly talk about nutrition, but he's our go-to. And, you know, also when you get clients to first start talking about nutrition who might not normally want to, it's usually when they perform poorly in a workout. And you're like, well, what did you do this weekend? How much did you drink? What did you eat on Sunday? And then they really start to think, wow, you know, what I did eat really did affect this workout. And I feel not good right now, and I'm not going to feel good for the next few hours.
So do you think that's something that kind of separates your guys' box from other places, is you guys kind of have an all-inclusive product of you guys have qualified coaches, you guys have people on staff that develop dietary plans, and you guys kind of take a little bit more pride and care on, like, kind of relaying the information and making sure it's a safe environment?
Yeah, I think the goal of our gym as a whole is not to be the master of, you know, 5 million directions. You know, we have good programming, we have good coaches, and we have good nutritional advice, and we don't try and steer too far from that.
Now, just to kind of wrap things up for you guys, where do you see CrossFit ACT going in the next year and then maybe the next few years down the road?
Well, we got a lot, actually. Go ahead, Bill.
Anything you guys want to talk about? Yeah.
Well, April 19th, we have the LLC Invitational, which was formerly known as Lift for Lungs. That's a huge event that we do every year. That's always a good one. Then we have coming up in June 14th, we have the Garage Games, which this year will be held at a track in Lyndhurst. Last year we had almost, what were the numbers, Jess? Over 100 athletes, which was awesome.
Yeah.
I've seen better.
Then we have our NASA Northeast Throwdown, which is, this is going to be our fourth year doing it. This is where we have, it's a beach workout down in Manasquan.
Oh, right in the street from my house.
Oh, dude, let me tell you, it's a good time. And then we go over to...
Let's go to that.
That shit little bar, the Osprey?
No, Leggett.
Oh, Leggett's, yeah, Leggett's.
Locals call it Club Leger.
Yeah, yeah. Locals should call, like, really shitty service.
No comment.
But we go there every year, and we give them, like, you know, 100 people, you know. We never get our food on time, but it's still a good time, so we go there anyways.
We also have, I think, a lot of good things in the direction of programming, as you guys had mentioned before. Just really harnessing the strengths and weaknesses of our clients and taking them into one common goal and one common direction. So it's really exciting. We have a lot of great coaches on board who are eager to learn and almost, you know, are ready to geek out and get down and dirty and program for the gym and just take even the people who are just regular people here working out and not your athlete, so to speak, and just taking them and making them into just great clients.
Awesome. And one last thing about our gym in regards to programming and CrossFit in general, you know, CrossFit is always like, yeah, you know, we do anything every day. It's just, you know, there's no real rhyme or reason. But I think as boxes are opening up and there's more of a science behind it, and you're seeing a lot of these older, you know, coaches coming into it, there's a lot of periodization going on, and there is a lot of cycling as far as different phases of training throughout the year. So it's not very different in terms of, you know, back and by chest and tri day at the gym. It's just different movements that have become more refined. So even at our gym, you know, we have 4 month phases of power, you know, power training. Then we have 4 month phases of gymnastics, 4 month phases of endurance. So I would say, like, if you're looking for a gym, make sure that the programming is, you know, has some kind of end result, end goals. It's not just, you know, we're going to run a 5K today and then we're going to do heavy bench tomorrow, you know, so.
Prepare for the random, don't randomly prepare.
Oh, nice quote. I'm going to make that my quote for Facebook tomorrow.
All right, guys. Well, just to wrap this up, we have a new segment that we've been working on. It's called Just a Random Question. So, Jess, I have a random question for you.
Uh-oh.
Percentage-wise, how many dudes in the gym are A, you taller than, and B, can outlift?
90.
Damn. I think there might be one. There's like a handful of guys taller than me, one being a not PC Indian Greg, like the tallest Indian I've ever seen in my entire life. He might be like 6'4". And that, I might be like a close second.
And Bill, my random question for you is, you were in the military. How many holes did you have to dig and poop in?
One too many.
All right, my turn. So, okay, Will, I think, by the way, I just want to let you know, I think you're awesome. I love interacting with you because you have a lot of You're more realistic with CrossFit in the way I kind of am. Are there any clients that you've had or gym members that just piss you off to the point that you would like to sock them in the mouth?
No comment, yes.
All right, there we go. All right, and Jess, I have a two-part question for you.
Okay.
First, are you single?
No, I'm not.
Bummer. Second, are you into 5'5" guys with brown hair, black hair, brown skin, and really nice arms?
Yeah, that's the only kind I go for.
Awesome. Score.
All right, you guys, is there anybody you'd like to shout out? Sponsors, websites, et cetera, et cetera. Go ahead.
Yeah, we got a lot of cool sponsors for the LLC Invitational that I just want to thank. Afro Brutality, they made a sick, sick t-shirt design for us.
We'll take one.
Yeah, absolutely. We got enough coming. Then we have 110% Play Harder. They're excellent compression gear, knee sleeves, elbow sleeves. We have a company called Born to Wad. They're a local homegrown apparel company right out of Sparta, New Jersey. And we also have OMG. They are also a couple local guys from a CrossFit near us. We're going to come down for selling their gi.
Yeah, I spoke to those guys. They're awesome. We can't wait to get them on the podcast.
Cool.
All right, yeah, guys. Thank
you. I want to give a happy belated birthday to Scott Paltos. he's a really terrible coach down down in Central Jersey.
God, that
controversy. All right, you guys, thank you so much. This has been Bad Guy Muay Thai with our guest from CrossFit ACT.
Great having you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.